It is a joy to be back home with y'all. I've been away a couple of Sundays. Last Sunday, I was with, there is a Ghanaian Methodist congregation here in Houston. Sometimes I worship with them. They invited me to come lead them in worship and also to raise funds for their next year budget. And so I was with them. We had a great time. And by God's grace, they exceeded their budget. And I also read from Clint's email how God has really blessed our church and the amazing ways that we responded to our stewardship campaign. My heart is just so full. And I'm so grateful to God for what He's doing here in our church and in other places. And it's certainly good to be back preaching God's word today. Thank you for the invitation. I thought that they really set me up, how you run the relay race, and then you give it to the last person, the anchor man, and he's supposed to bring the baton home and do a great job. So I thought after these 7 weeks, right, 7 weeks of series, they set me up to bring the baton home.
14 weeks.
Wow. That's a real
knock.
Wow. I better do a good job. Let us pray. You have the words of life. And whenever you speak, you breathe inspiration, encouragement. We are renewed in our resolve to follow you. We are strengthened in our convictions about you. You bring healing through your word. So come, Holy Spirit, as we open our hearts to listen to your voice. I avail myself to you. Use me as a vessel of honor to reach out to your people who have gathered to hear you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say an amen. Our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 7. 24 through 29. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. So Jesus had been introducing the kingdom of God to his hearers. He taught them what life in God's kingdom looks like. He taught them about the culture, the value system in God's kingdom. His teachings centered on so many important everyday life issues. And at the end of all his sayings, he gives this parable to highlights the importance of obeying his teachings instead of just hearing them. He lays so much emphasis in obedience in God's kingdom. And I felt Jesus was probably saying, yes, in God's kingdom, there is no democracy that you get to pick and choose and vote on whether to obey God or not. There is only one way, and that way is obedience to God's word. And I felt this is so important for us to remind ourselves of, because these days in our world, and even in the church, it looks like if we want to practice anything, if we want to believe anything, we have to subject it to a democratic process by voting. And whatever the majority votes on is what we subscribe to and believe. But that is not what Christ is saying with this parable. That in God's kingdom, we obey the teachings of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ. And in emphasizing the importance of obedience to God's word, he gives this parable. And he says, we see two people, two building projects, two tests, and two outcomes. Two people, a wise man and a foolish man, both embarking on a building project. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The rain came, the wind blew, and the floods came. And it did not stand. It did not survive. The pressure of the element, the test of the element, and so it fell. The wise man built his house on the rock. Now, the same elements that tested the project of the foolish man were the same elements that tested that of the wise man. But the outcomes were different. The wise man's project stood, survived. The foolish man's project did not. Friends, we are all involved in building one thing or the other. Somebody is building a family, the marriage. Somebody is building a parenting, grandparenting. As I see grandpas and grandkids and moms and dads here, it's always beautiful to see. Somebody is building a job, building finances, building relationships, friendships. We are all involved in building one thing or the other. And whatever you build in life will be tested. Whatever you build, whether you consider yourself a wise man, a believer in Christ, or an unbeliever, we are all going to be tested in life. That marriage will be tested. That relationship between you and your kids will be tested. Sometimes your finances will be tested. You may have all kinds of stormy issues at work. Your work, your vocation, your job, your career is being tested. And I believe that there are some here who are being tested right now, going through some tests right now in their lives. Some are coming out of a test. They've been through some storms and God has come through for them, so they are coming out. Some are heading into a test. The good thing is, if you are building on the solid rock, who is Christ Jesus, you do not have to be afraid of what comes your way. Christ Jesus, our solid rock, provides that security for us, that no matter what comes, we will stand, we will survive, and not just survive, but thrive, even in the midst of our stormy situations. We'll always come out better. So what does it mean to build on Christ the solid rock? Taking his teachings, the word of God, and applying it to your life. He says, the wise man is the one who hears my sayings and puts them into practice. And so God told Joshua, when he called Joshua to take over from Moses, God's command to Joshua was, Joshua, be careful to do not forget the law of God, but meditate on it day and night, that you may practice all that is in the law of God, then you will prosper in your ways and you will find success in all that you do. Meditate on God's word and practice it. James, the Apostle James, was teaching the church and he was encouraging them. James 1 verse 22, he says that, do not just be hearers of God's word, deceiving yourself. Instead, be doers, be practitioners of God's word. Friends, it looks like from Jesus' teachings, obedience is the acid test of our faith. Obedience to God's word is the acid test of our faith. It is the mark of our spiritual maturity. Imagine you have a child at home and he doesn't obey you. Do this, don't do that. And he chooses to do whatever he wants to do. Imagine that relationship at home. No submission. No obedience. What proves that we are true disciples of Christ is that we take his word and we apply it to all aspects of our lives. And sometimes obedience comes at a great cost. Ashley, I remember the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar had built this image. And everybody was supposed to bow down to that image at the sound of the trumpet or whatever signal they gave. And everybody in the empire bowed to the image. But the three Hebrew boys, they have read in the Torah that God had given them a commandment that they should have no other God apart from him and that they should make no graven image, that they should not bow down to worship any idol. That was God's word to them. And they chose the path of obedience even though it was going to cost them their lives. They chose it. They were convinced beyond every shadow of doubt that God was going to protect them, save them. And even if God did not protect them, they decided that we will not bow. We choose obedience over convenience. And friends, I tell you what, these days, sometimes it feels like you are the only one and friends have forsaken you because you have chosen to go God's way. You have chosen to subscribe to God's word no matter what. When others go mainstream, you decide to go God's way, the broad way, the easy road. Indeed, it's easy and convenient and comfortable. But the pathway, the road that leads to life is very narrow. It's challenging. It's difficult. You will be ridiculed. You will be maligned, ostracized, forsaken by friends when they realize that you are not in the same camp with them. You are not singing the same songs with them. You don't have the same beliefs with them. They may forsake and reject friendship. People that you have known for a very long time, all of a sudden do not want to talk with you. They don't want to dine and eat with you again because of your belief and that you have chosen to subscribe to God's word. But I checked through the scriptures from the old to the new, and I saw something. That those who always chose to obey God, even at the expense of their convenience and comfort, God always came through for them. The truth of God will always protect. The truth of God's word will always cause you to flourish, even in the midst of challenging situations. I came to encourage somebody to decide to choose obedience in your family life, in all aspects of your situations. Choose the path of God's word. The fact that we are here, the fact that we are in this church, in this body of Christ, in this community of faith, means that in some way we have chosen to obey God's word. We have chosen the path of God's word, no matter what the society is saying. Everyone else went mainstream. But the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they chose the unpopular path. I was in Copenhagen, Denmark, 2 years ago in September. I went to visit a cousin, a close cousin of mine, and I preached in their church. It was a Methodist church. And my heart was broken because I saw a picture of what had happened to the church in Europe. Europe was a cradle of our faith. Christianity grew and spread to all parts of the world. But what kept that church alive was the few people who have migrated from different parts of the world, mostly Africans, including my cousin, who kept that church alive. That church was the seat of the bishop, the largest Methodist church in Copenhagen, in Denmark, was sustained and kept alive by migrants. Why? Because looks like the Western civilization has chosen to ignore the word of God that built it. We have become so developed, so powerful in our own skins that we have forsaken the very foundation of our civilization. Isn't that the human heart? God knew this. And so he told Moses, tell my people, when they were in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, tell my people, when they have settled in their land, and I have given them houses, and I have given them vineyards and wells, and life is good for them, they should be careful not to forget me. Because whenever we get comfortable, whenever life seems to be so good and we are prospering and we're seeing flourishing and success, we are likely to forget God and His word. I am glad to be part of a new movement. I'm happy. And I'm excited to be part of a new movement that chooses God's word despite what the world may say. It's one thing I like about U.S. We will not all sink en masse. We will not sink en masse. There will always be some remnants. There will always be some few people who will choose to stand for God and His word no matter what. And that's what we are experiencing here, even in our church. Those who do not choose to stand for God and His word. Jesus said, the house fell and great was the fall. That was the emphasis. I love that. Great was the fall of that house. What does that mean? To understand that, the immediate verses to that, verse 21 through 23, gives us a little window of what it means to fall. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. you who practice lawlessness. Said many will come to me. God, we knew you. Jesus, we knew you. We went to church every Sunday. We did everything. But he said, yes, I saw you go to church. I saw you do all the religious stuff, but you never practiced my word. You were only hearers of my word. Depart from me. Eternal separation from God forever and ever. I love this hymn. I thought of singing it, but I decided to just go with my, just keep my preaching voice. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his words, what a glory he sheds on our way. And while we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who would trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You want to see happy days for your family? Trust and obey. Do you want to see good times in all your relationship in life, in your work situations, in all aspects of your life? Trust and obey. Trust and obey, even when it's not comfortable, even when everybody is saying otherwise, trust and obey. For those who trust and obey, God's word will always stand, no matter the battles and the challenges in life. Friends, our faith may not insulate us from the battles of life, but our faith informs how we respond. Our faith protects us through the battles of life. And I see that because of your faith in God and your obedience on his word, you are not going under. Instead, you're going up. Friends, let me be personal here. The people that I cherish and appreciate a lot are believers who have been through stuff and are still standing. It's easy to love God when everything in life is rosy. I take a lot of encouragement, even as a pastor, I take a lot of encouragement and inspiration when I see believers go through stuff in life and they still cling onto God and Christ and his word. Steve is a great example of encouragement to me. Sometimes I remember I called him one time and I felt he was the one encouraging me. When I was pastoring in Wichita, Kansas, I visited one of our members and he was going through some health crisis. And as a young pastor, I was learning my way through experience. And I will visit this guy, and he will be the one encouraging me. Sometimes I was struggling to find the right words to say to this guy that I know is going through stuff, and I was the one receiving ministry. So one time I asked him, gosh, Larry, why are you so peaceful? Why are you the one encouraging me? And he told me, he said, Emmanuel, I have learned to give God my battle. I have learned to allow Christ into my battle. And that is my source of peace and encouragement. Friends, there is no safe place in this world than the Rock of Ages. The Rock of Ages. And the good thing is, Glenn, for us, he is not just a foundation underneath us. That rock is right here in our hearts, the very center of our being. He's not just a foundation outside of us that we got to stand on at some point in time in life. No, that rock is inside of our hearts. And he walks with us Monday, Sunday through Saturday. Dawn tonight, wherever you find yourself, that Rock of Ages is with you to hold you, to strengthen you, and to ensure that you are safe and supported, no matter what life may throw at you. May God add his blessings to his word. Amen.